Yamba nana joy madire.
One of my favorite songs, as rendered by the great Dudu Ndierose, who was basically providing the drumming, a group of master drummers, of which, of course, he's the leader, and Julien Juga, who was well known for his orchestration of chorales. And this is, of course, titled Ele YY, and it's from the album Jabote. I've long loved this song. I can listen to it all day. It is so soothing. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And there are 500 things we should be discussing today, but we'll pick just one of them. And that is what is to happen tonight. At least that's what we're told. And looking forward to it. It's showtime in Las Vegas tonight as Republican turned Democrat Michael Bloomberg makes his much anticipated debut in the Democrats' 2020 presidential beauty contest. Funny I should use that phrase, because one thing Michael Bloomberg insists he is not is a beauty. Bloomberg will be facing off against former Vice President Joe Biden. You remember him? Yes, that guy, who started off with a bang, and I think he has been reduced to whimper stage, but we'll see tonight whether he has regained his ground. He admits that his campaign has suffered several what he called gut punches. In other words, things didn't go as well for him as he had expected. Also, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the senator from Vermont, who has been doing very well, surprisingly, because they thought that because he was treated as a kind of outsider, as a socialist, unquote. But he was one of the surprising performers in Iowa. So since then, it seems as if his campaign has picked up speed. And he's with South Bend former mayor, South Bend, Indiana former mayor, Pete Buttigieg, and they are running neck and neck in the race so far. Speaking of Buttigieg, he is also trying to tear away from everybody else, and people think he can do it. We'll see. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, a moderate, enjoying a small burst of support, but it's not enough to launch her into orbit as a candidate who is going to be expected to do some really interesting things. So, but she has gotten notice, and that put her on the map. She was, until that point, a write-off, but no more. And then you have Elizabeth Warren, a progressive whose promising campaign has suffered some major setbacks to the point where people are wondering what is happening with her campaign. She was doing so well. She was out front. She was getting a lot of coverage. And all of a sudden, things turned. The question is, can she rebound? And those would be the participants at this debate tonight. Of course, I remind you, I don't call these things debates. They're not really debates. They're more Q&A sessions, question and answer sessions, where a panel made up of journalists and others, but mostly journalists, ask questions, and the candidates respond. It is not really a debate. I don't know why they keep calling it a debate. It just is not. I love debates, but the candidates don't get a chance to debate. And, you know, tonight would be the first time that Bloomberg will be appearing as a bona fide candidate in the debate, what should I say, environment. He has never engaged in debates. He has never really thought it necessary. As you know, he has funded his own campaign, and he has eschewed any kind of help that other candidates are taking, financial help. He says he's funding his own campaign, and yet there are so many problems with this candidate. But they will surface shortly, no question about it. So after Iowa, I guess he figured he couldn't delay his debut any longer. The Democratic Party bent its rules of qualification to allow him, even though they deny it, to allow him to be a participant in these Q&A sessions, this being his first one tonight. So there's a lot. I'll tell you, I don't like the mood. I am so disappointed with where we are now as a country, as a party, and for millions as potential voters. I can't understand how it is that we can permit the country to make such a rapid descent under Trump. And it is very disturbing that despite the fact that everybody could see that there's something dramatically wrong, psychologically and emotionally wrong with this person. Nothing is said. Nobody talks about it. It's as if it doesn't exist. His problems don't exist. We just had a reminder yesterday when Trump said, declared himself to be the nation's highest law enforcement official. Okay. And people are still acting as if they don't know what he meant. That was a direct hit. That was at Bill Barr, the current, at least so he believes, the current U.S. Attorney General. He, that office, is supposed to be the highest level law enforcement official in the country. So that was as good as Trump saying, you're next. And if you know what's good for you, you'll just resign. This is the kind of mobster mentality that has taken over the administration and that we seem okay with. We seem okay with the way things are going. I don't understand it, but it is very depressing to me. But anyway, so we'll be talking about this today. What are the questions I want to ask you? What issues do you think voters or likely voters would be most interested in hearing the candidates' positions on tonight? What issues do you expect will dominate tonight's Q&A session? We could start with those two. I have a lot more, but I don't want to get anybody confused. You pick your own. You have your own questions, I'm sure. But as we get closer and closer into this circus that is supposed to yield a new president and a new way of doing things, a new administration in November, how does it look even now? What are you concerned about now, this moment? You don't have to wait until this, carnival barking show tonight. What concerns you now? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. I would like, because we're moving more and more into the land of analysis, I would like you to make an effort to put your analysis out there. What are you thinking? What are the strands that you're knitting together that would form your picture, your view of where we are? Jay from New York, we start with you. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. I hope all are doing well and you're listening for the audience. I find tonight will probably be one of the most finest and entertaining dog and pony shows ever presented on television, with attack by five members of the panel against one individual who could basically buy and sell all of them. It will show how Bloomberg is a novice in debating. It will show how Joe Biden really has nothing to say. It will show that Buttigieg is of no value. It would show that Klobuchar is of no value. It will show how Bernie Sanders is not getting the due respect that he deserves as the true front runner, who the American people, it seems, on a certain level are behind. And as far as Warren goes, it will just show that she's there with ideas and a plan. And in the end, it will probably be 2 hours of other nonsense and entertainment, with nothing being put forward to solve the problems in this country. And also, I would say that other than stop and frisk and all of these other ills towards the black community that were presented by Bloomberg, there will be no discussion of real, true issues facing black people and other people of color in this country. So it's going to be quite entertaining in a sense. But the reality is, when it's all said and done, you know, we'll just go on to the next thing. We'll go on to, you know, who's going to be the so-called boogeyman to go up against the guy in office now, Trump, that's doing all sorts of dastardly things and just basically getting away with it. Now, if it was a fair debate, you would be talking about things that could improve the United States to a democratic premise. You know, as far as education, as far as housing, as far as jobs, as far as Medicare, Medicaid, health, and all of those type things. If it was a true debate and the candidates would put forward ideas on how to address those issues, but that's not going to happen. It's just going to be, like I said, 2 hours basically of attacking Bloomberg. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing if Bloomberg has the ability to defend his actions in regards to trying to buy the election and the things that he says. I don't think he can, but let me tell you, if he can, the game totally changes. If he could show any semblance of contrition at all and articulate anything of real substance, he becomes totally the front runner, because then people will really now feel a little more comfortable to attack Bernie harder and move him out of the way. And, you know, me, myself, personally, if I had to pick anybody of the group, I would have to go with Bernie. Even though I know America's not ready for him, I still believe he has something to offer for the future.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Thanks a lot for getting us started today. 888-874-4888 with the show going on tonight in Las Vegas, where the Democrats are presenting candidates running for president, being quizzed. It's not a debate. Don't use the word debate. It's not a debate. It's a question and answer session. And based on that, they will come to certain conclusions about the worthiness of the various candidates for the presidency. But just don't delude yourselves that you're going to be seeing a debate. If I don't know why they've been getting away with that term of saying that this is a debate. It's not. It's just a question and answer session. And I don't know that the candidates will be able to fully answer any question posed to them, considering the time constraints in this method that they've chosen to present the candidates. All right, 888-874-4888. Do you think that the Democrats and with their campaign and their candidates, do you think they can prevail against Trump? Or do you think Trump has a lead on them despite everything, you know, what he is, what he says, what he does, the insanity of his office, and all of that, do you think just the same that the Democrats have put forward a convincing argument that they should win the White House this time around? Jose from Rosedale, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor.
Hello, and, Jose.
A happy and conscious and progressive African History Month to you and your listeners.
Thank
now,
you.
You know, I said to you some time ago that I like to see a discussion, a discourse, a dialogue on the virtues of the different systems, social systems that we've been wrestling with for a while. And the American people have been brainwashed and propagandized against all systems except the capitalist system that we live under. This predatory system that is its only intention is to suck the life's blood out of people who has no power to resist them. Now, I was watching Representative Ocasio this morning on View. And the young lady represented herself and her issues.
Oh,
well,
wait a minute. You're taking us off topic.
Well, the point I'm making is this, right? There is no discussion about the systems that are out there available to us. Because McCain's daughter jumped on the young sister about this socialism and how this country is not ready for socialism and so forth. And the young sister, the representative, mentioned to her that we are living in the best of capitalism. And she pointed out all the ills of this system.
But I don't want to pursue this discussion because mm-hmm. it takes us off from where we started greatly. We're talking about the question and answer session slated for tonight in Las Vegas, the candidates who are running. What do you expect to hear? What do you expect not to hear? And how do you rate the Democratic Party and its candidates right now vying for the opportunity to capture the White House? That's what we're talking about.
Well, the Democratic Party, in my humble opinion, is morally bankrupt. It doesn't have a plan. The Democratic Party's plan and a standard bearer was supposed to be Biden, Joe Biden. And as I told you some time ago on your program, that the deal was already set. Biden was supposed to be the candidate. What they were vying for was a vice president. Right, but now the paradigm has been altered, and here comes this billionaire that is spreading his money around. He has dumped a lot of money in the Democratic Party and bought off all those charlatans in the party, and now this is a new scenario that's happening in the Democratic Party, and they would rather have Bloomberg as the standard bearer than Biden. But they definitely don't want to have Bernie Sanders. They want to rob Bernie again. So I believe that Bernie Sanders is the more viable candidate on the Democratic side today, nobody else. Because you cannot bring this man here who has bought a third election, a third term in office in New York City here. I testified twice when he was going for the third term. And to expect him to buy this candidate for the presidency. And if he gets in there, my professor, trust me, he would behave and act no different from the moron that we are sitting in the office right now. So Bloomberg is nowhere on my radar. But if by some chance he become the standard bearer for the Democratic Party, I think they will be comfortable with him. He has paid for it. He has bought off all of them, including our ministers. I just saw yesterday, I hope I'm not straying, yesterday where our butts and some of his colleagues got together and decided to endorse Bloomberg. I guess they got their piece of silver. And now the people, some of the members in their congregation say, hell no, we didn't vote for him. We don't want Bloomberg. You can't ram him down our throat. And this is what these charlatans in the pulpit are doing to their population, to their congregants. And unless the people rise up and run them out of the church and take it over and make it a real democratic institution, we're going to continue to have these boys taking these rich people's pieces of silver and selling us out. And this is what is setting us back as a race of people, because we have these charlatans that is leading the pack and telling these their masters that we control the flock. Don't worry about them. Just give us our pieces of silver and we'll keep them in check. And this is what, that's why I tell the Democratic Party, it has been found wanting a long time ago. It is not serving the needs of the poor and the working class people, the sufferers. It is nowhere in our corner. They're no different than...
Thank you for your very strident opinion. Thank you so much for offering it for our consideration today. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello, Detrice. This is John.
Hello, John.
How you doing? I called you last week. And, how the situation is going on, I'd say, why, you know, anyone going to sit down and watch this show? I'd say, basically, you got to start from the grassroots. And I saying this, I might get, you know, negative response for this, but what happened to the Black Caucus? Well, I mean, where did it disappear to?
Well, actually, I shared a speech by Dr. William Barber on Monday, speaking specifically to the caucus about strategies that they should adopt in order to arrive at a whole different point in our collective power. So it was a very riveting speech, but he went there specifically to address them.
Yes, he did. And I listened to that, you know, a little bit on my lunch break. And what he said, you know, was true. But we got to look at the real picture. And the real picture is that we have to stop going around and say that we are a certain color. It should be nothing more but one caucus, the People's Caucus. It could be all kind of colors, you know, LGBTs, all that, but one People Caucus, and we could fight the situation, whereas we could get rid of, you know, the NAACP was great at the time when it began with W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, around about 1909. But that's,
you know me,
news.
I'm a stickler. We got to stick to the topic today. It's very, very important
I'm going to lead into that because
and not stray. So the question I'm asking you to return to is, with this question and answer session tonight, and this being the debut of Bloomberg, what do you expect? Does this help to turn the tide in one way or the other? And which way do you prefer that the tide be turned?
All right. Now, everybody's concerned about Bloomberg, right? I mean, even he, you know, somebody brought up the possibility of having Hillary Clinton as VP, whereas, you know, to me, it's a joke. But we should not waste our energies on things that we know that is not going to happen. So what I'm saying is that we should start from the foundation and control, you know, our so-called Democratic Party, or maybe change the name and start from scratch, because all this talking about what happened years ago and stuff like that, it's old news. It's 2020. So, I mean, well, that's over a generation, but century ago. and we should just focus on what we should be doing and stop listening to what we know is typical lies.
But what is that? With respect to the Democratic Party, I'm going to ask you, what is it that we should be doing? What is it?
Take our votes and keep it in our pockets. Why are we going to go for, anyone in the Democratic Party right now who really don't represent the people's interests?
Would that not work against you?
He's not going to do anything because he'd be a sitting duck because he have half of the Democratic Party hating him and the Republican hate him. So he going to be sitting as a dead duck. So if you will put your votes to him, go ahead. Bloomberg, we know, is this a show. And after a while, we should, like I say, basically, we have to revamp our system. We have to start from scratch and stop throwing this race, like black. Forget about black. It's people. We're talking about people. We have to focus on people.
I understand that, but we have a specific focus and a specific question to answer. What are we doing with regard to the Democratic Party? What is to be done with regard to the Democratic Party?
You said what has to be done?
Yes.
Okay, what has to be done, emphasizing that we should start something new. We have to make the Democrat Party suffer. We have to let them know that we are sick and tired of y'all leading us to nowhere. So we have to take our votes and keep it in our pockets. If you will go for Bernie Sanders, go ahead. But other than that, the whole Democratic Party is in shambles because we are controlled by people who making sure they are paid before things are getting done. Just think of it. Just think of it. Have anybody read My Larger Education?
Has anybody what?
Read the book, My Larger Education.
No, I have not read it.
Okay, that's written by Booker T. Washington. Now, I guess he made the book around about 1910, 1912, something like that. Everybody should read that book and see what's really going on. Because, that's the way we should think today. We got to stop using our past.
But you're not telling us specifically. You're not answering the question. You're giving us a polemic, but you're not telling us specifically what you see as the next move with or without the Democratic Party.
The next move for the Democratic Party. Because
the next move for you and me and others with regard to the Democratic Party.
We should let them know that our votes should not be prostituted by their false influences. That's the bottom line. That's the best I could describe it.
Okay. Well, thank you. You put your points on the table. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing today. Edge from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Trees. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
To bring us back to topic, because everybody likes to jump off on these great tangents, but I'm a practical person. I got to deal with my reality. Pertaining to the question and answer period they're going to have tonight, I know it's going to be dogpile on Bloomberg because he's the obvious target. He doesn't have any as far as political experience, debate experience. I've read his book, he's seen him in person. He tends to be condescending at times. He's haughty. He's a bit of a bully. He thinks he's the smartest one in the room. It's my personal opinion. Will that come out? I don't know. He's been you got to believe he's been thoroughly vetted and completely trained to deal with this situation. He has Madison Avenue advertisers behind him, and he's been sitting in boardrooms and meeting rooms and running different scenarios as far as attacks and how to parry them. He's not a stupid man. I believe he'll probably do relatively well, especially with this field and how much the Democratic Party is scrambling. What we can do in the interim, my humble opinion, back Bernie Sanders, and unfortunately, like the choice has been for the past 40 years in this country, go with the lesser of the two evils, because all of the highfalutin ideas and all of these high policies, they're great, but they're going to take time and they're going to take work. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that principle. In the interim, you've got to do triage. There's a thing, it's called triage. When you're injured in battle, I was in the service, when you're injured in battle, you do triage. You take an assessment of your injuries and you work with the ones that are going to save the life, and some you got to cut off and leave to the side because you've only got a limited amount of resources, you only got a limited amount of time. So right now we're doing political triage. We got to cut our losses and concentrate on the best of a worst situation, which in my opinion is Bernie Sanders. The Democratic Party is at a loss. I hope that Bernie Sanders can realize that and really start to distance himself from the Democratic Party, and we can work from there. But he's the best choice in this situation. And Bloomberg, little Mike is trying to buy himself into the presidency. That's pretty much it.
Well, is this, in your view, a major dilemma for the party?
It could be. I mean, well, the party, as you put it, is in a state of utter disrepair, in my opinion. I mean, they're a lost cause. So as far as this being a dilemma or not, I mean, they'll look to him, his financial wealth, to promote themselves and to secure their positions of power. But as far as being a viable political option for the common people in this country, the Democratic Party is gone. It's completely lost. And the only reason I'm saying to go with Bernie Sanders is because he's the best of the worst.
Oh, jeez. Is that a compliment, by the way? Am I supposed to take that as a compliment about Bernie? He's the best of the worst?
Well, I mean, be that as it may, in this political environment, well, you know, this is what you get. I mean, this is our mutual responsibility. We weren't vigilant. We didn't look at things as they are presented, and we didn't deal with them in a timely and effective fashion. And this is what you get. Nothing's what you get when nothing's what you do. And this is what we got.
Could you talk about what you think has happened to Joe Biden?
Well, Joe Biden is a lost cause. I mean, he was propped up to be the cause celeb, the main man. His affiliation with Obama was supposed to have carried him through. But we got to remember, Joe Biden's been trying to be president for years. I mean, if he's the best that they can pull out of their toolkit, it's a sorry toolkit.
Wow. It's a sad situation, because when you look on the other side and you see what we have, and he is gung-ho. He is doing very well. He has a base that is very enthusiastic about him. He's got donors shoving money by the fistful at him. And we are left as voters. I'm not one of the voters. I've discussed that already many times. Since 20 years ago, I gave up on the idea, because it is utterly insulting to the intelligence of anybody, I think, to put faith and trust in a system like this, organized from day one to defeat the altruistic purpose of of politics. So you can't succeed because it is heavily weighted against you. But at the same time, I don't want to be totally, you know, I don't want to communicate that I'm totally against it. Not at all. I'm just waiting to see some sign of hope. And not even with Barack Obama did I see a sign of hope.
No, I agree with you as far as the lack of inspirational or effective or even moving politics. I vote. Why do I vote? Sometimes I'll just write my own name in because I believe we have to exercise the franchise no matter what. I mean, I go and exercise the franchise because I believe that the franchise needs to be exercised because we don't want it to fall by the wayside. And I've taken my nephews with me. I've taken my stepchildren with me just to show them that this is the franchise and this is what it's about, even though there isn't anyone to vote for. Like I said, sometimes I write in my own name just because. But we're in a sad state of affairs, and it's going to take vigilance, and it's going to take organizing, and it's going to take a concerted, sincere effort to get out of this. If America wants to do it, America might not want to do it. America might be totally happy with cell phones and football and nonsense rhetoric from a completely irrational idiot in the White House. And if they're content with that, you know, then as far as I'm concerned, I'm considering moving. I'm really considering it. I've been looking at my options, and because if this guy gets in again, it's not going to be pretty. It's definitely not going to be pretty. And with the people that he's released, with his presidential powers.
Oh, they all like him. You know, so they're members of the club. They're members of the same club.
This is a criminal enterprise. This is like Lucky Luciano and Murder Incorporated and the Gambino. It's a criminal enterprise. He released stone cold criminals. I mean, people that were indicted, charged and convicted and guilty and just totally released them with no other reason. Giving Rush Limbaugh the Medal of Freedom, I mean, come on. It's gone beyond pathetic. So, like I said, you got to get behind Bernie because, God help us, that's all we got right now.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Ed. Thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Nutrice. I've been listening to this discussion today, and something is coming to mind that I think we need to emphasize at this point. The system we have here with the ruling class allowing a one-party state with two divisions, people have to look at this. We, the people, the masses of people that live here, have to realize they have no so-called party that represents their interests. The Republican and Democrat divisions of this uniparty do not represent the interests of the masses of people. If they represented the interests, people wouldn't be in poverty. You wouldn't have homelessness. You would have a condition of life for the half of the population that is at the bottom or just above the poverty line, not living like they're living. So discussing what's going on with the Democrat in this case or the Republican group is a situation where it's like discussing what's happening in the slave master's house. You know, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, people have to get it across their head. I know it's very difficult because the system is designed to keep you ignorant, that you have no party whatsoever, whether you pick Republican or Democrat, and that applies to the masses of people. Those parties are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the ruling class, operated for the benefit of the ruling class, and the only thing they do for the people is manage the people so the people will not rebel. There's no solution to this other than rebellion and revolution and things like that, whether it's the nonviolent revolution, if that's possible, or others, because the reality is this is a game that's being played upon the people that live in the USA.
So, as this question and answer session takes place tonight, what should we be keeping in mind in terms of our collective political power?
We should be keeping in mind that this is part of the routine of making people think that they have people up there who are really functioning, competing against each other to serve the interests of the masses of population, and most of them are not serving that interest. They're pretending, because if they're in the Democrat Party in this particular case, the Democrat Party is owned by the rulers, and they are in there, and they're not going to be allowed to go forward if they sincerely would be interested in serving the needs of the people. It's impossible for the Democrat Party or the Republican Party to serve the interests of the people. Why should those owners of that party be doing things to not enjoy the fruits of controlling the whole country as they do, and doing things that are better for the masses of people who live here? So we've got to keep that in mind. So we can talk all day about Republican question and answer period or Democrat question and answer period. It doesn't make any difference. These people are not in the service of the people, even though they pretend to be. They're just pretending, you know, so people have to get that through their head. I think that's the major thing that people have to understand. They are being played. That's it. Wow. Being played.
Okay. We're being played, says David from Brooklyn. Thank you so much for calling in today. 888-874-4888. You see, we need these kinds of discussions. We don't need the kinds of discussions that they would be having tonight when, they asked a question that really doesn't get to the heart of the matter. It is just an opportunity for all parties to say, well, we have participated in promoting the democratic process. But in the end, I think David's points are well taken. This is people, it's symbolic that it's happening in Las Vegas. This is a big gamble. They're gambling with our lives and our future and our interests. And we don't seem to have an organized response to this, an alternative. And that's where our work is. We have to find and fashion something different. E from Edgewater, you're on the air. Hello, E, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon to you and the PRN audience.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you. Thank you so much. As the Q&A session gets underway tonight, and I don't know whether you'll be watching it, but what would be on your mind about this event?
Well, I probably won't be watching. Maybe I'll watch like a recap of it later on, but probably won't waste my time on it. If we look at it in a different way, now you said this isn't a debate. The word D-E-B-A-T-E, debate, we know this isn't a debate. And these people that are running for president in the Democratic Party are lifelong politicians, and they're adults, and they know it's not a debate either. But we're looking at it the wrong way. They're the bait, T-H-E-B-A-I-T. It's the bait, and we're the little fish, and we can't get enough of the bait. So every time they throw the hook in the water, we jump on the bait, and they reel us in, and they say, oh, we're too little. They unhook us and throw us back in the water. And then we can't wait to get the bait again. And the bait is, last time it was Bernie was the bait, and this time it'll be Bernie again, and we can't get enough of the bait. And it'll be Bloomberg. They're all bait, and we can't get enough of it. So it's like...
But aren't you being like a bit unfair? Do you mean to communicate that everybody participating in this process tonight, however you want to see it, that they are not genuine and not genuinely a part of any possible solution that the vast majority of people are hoping for?
Yes, I have to agree 100% with David from Brooklyn that we are being played, but I'm calling it the bait, okay? We're being baited. And who do you really think Bernie wants to be the president of the United States at this stage of the game for him, 40 years in politics? He's going to do the same thing as last time. Well, he might run as a third-party candidate. And everybody thinks Biden's finished, but look, this is a long process. We got to get to November 8th. It's only February, so we still got 9 months. So they got to play this game with us. And we're little fish, and we can't wait to get the bait. So they're baiting us with all these different things. This one comes into the race after he waited till enough people dropped out. Now Bloomberg's in. Now he's going to be in the bait. Now he's the bait, and we believe what we're told by the press, that this is this and this is that, and this one's done, and Biden's finished. But I still feel he still has a chance to win the thing. It's a long process.
Bloomberg, you have to admit, he put up his own money, and he's doing his own thing. He is spending cash like crazy. He is shoring up his support within the African-American community especially, and he's paying attention to urban needs. Is this part of a game, you think? Would he spend this much money if he weren't even in the slightest sincere?
It's true that he's just being part of a game here. He's playing his part in this play. And see, they already have the guy in there who wasn't a lifelong politician. He had no experience in politics, Mr. Trump. And now he's the president of the United States, supposedly. So he's the patsy. He's the guy that they want in there to take the blame for all the bad things going on. And he doesn't mind because he knows it's all rigged. And at the end of the day, he comes out looking like roses. So he plays along with it. And as long as he does what he's told, and he listens to the little microphone in his ear, and he says what they told him to say, he's going to be all right, and he can go play golf every day and have a good time and live in nice mansions and have a great life. So he's not going to go against that because he's hooked like we're hooked. He has to do what he's told to do. He's the patsy. People like Bernie, he's the bait. He's making us think that he has some other novel idea. Who? I mean, What politician doesn't want to give free education and free medical and all these things that they say they want to do? You watch Bernie give his speeches. His back goes up, he haunches, he does the finger pointing. It's all the same thing. And at the end of the day, what did he do last time? 13 million little fish followed him, and he told them, well, go vote for Hillary. I got important things to do. I got to buy myself a lake house with some of the money that you sent me. So now we're being baited again. It's just ridiculous how we as human beings that are intelligent people keep getting tricked. We keep going for the bait. And it's not a debate, it's the bait.
The bait.
And that was a novel way that I just thought of, and that's why I called in, to maybe put it a little different way of looking at it.
And you brought along some humor, too. So thanks for calling in. And we have to leave it right there for today because we are out of time. But this is a very serious matter, as we all know. But the most serious part of this serious matter is that we appear to have no real response or solutions that can be enacted immediately. We can't look to the Democratic Party for guidance. They themselves need guidance. We certainly cannot accept guidance from Donald Trump. But we don't seem to be accepting any kind of guidance that has to do with mass movements. And that's where I think, inevitably, our power lies. We cannot do things piecemeal. We have to have mass movements. It's the only way that, when you go through recent history, you see that at least you get the attention of this system. But we have so much work to do with regard to organizing. We've neglected to do our jobs. We have just assumed that everything will be all right, or that we could cope with whatever comes down the pike. But this is not what it's shaping up to be. It's shaping up to be a very serious problem. And then we will have the terrible issue of having to organize and fight at the same time. And you can see from now what a terrible plan that is. But we'll continue to talk, and I'll take a look at the Q&A session. I listen in on it, and we'll talk again. Thanks so much, everyone who called in today. It is so refreshing to me to have a discussion at a level where people can say, okay, I get that, I understand that, or I must look into that, because we're doing good teaching here. So thanks. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.